Taking a comprehensive look at the week's indie wrestling news so you don't have to, it's the PWP Weekly Newscast on PWPonderings.com with Chris GST and Des Delgadillo.
How's it going, listeners? Chris GST here, web admin for PWPonderings.com. Welcome back to another edition of the Weekly Newscast, where we talk about all the news in independent pro wrestling. As always, I'm joined by Des Delgadillo. Des, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, Chris. I mean, we got so much to talk about this week. We got stuff that happened in Chikara, CZW, some matches announced for Final Battle for Ring of Honor coming up in December, and some other things. We got PWG coming up in December too. So we got a lot of stuff to preview and a lot of news to talk about. I'm excited to get right into it.
Yeah, last week kind of quiet, and we had our senior editor on then, and we have him back again this week. I was able to get his thoughts on some of the more topical issues going on. So Des, as you said, let's just dive right in. Chikara held a guerrilla event on the 2nd of November. It was at the FDR Skate Park Rally. And it was essentially just another I Am Chikara meeting, except they had a match. It was Hella Wicked, Icarus, and Assailant versus Kobold and Los Ice Creams. This all mixed in with an apparent kidnapping from that dastardly Condor security.
I hate those guys.
Yeah, and apparently we know the guy's name. His name was Tom. And, that was it. And it was all streamed live on Ustream.com. And of course, there are other dignitaries of the Chikara universe: Bryce Remsburg, Leonard F. Chikarason, Zia Hilty, Billy Kumahara, Gavin Loudspeaker was also there. And I got to talk to Jerome about this, Des. So my thoughts are going to be announced here in a little bit. But what are your thoughts on this? I know you've kind of been the prevailing voice on the website about you kind of dig this. You dig this weird esoteric storytelling that Chikara is doing right now.
I dig it a lot, and I think this is another fun step. I mean you can make the argument that yeah, this isn't making them any money, but I don't think they're in it right now to make money as a company. What they're doing right now is they're connecting with the fan base that they already have of Chikara fans who are so totally loyal to the Chikara name that you still have them coming out to this skate park, even though there's going to be one match. And they would have come out even if there wasn't going to be a match, let's be honest. It's Chikara fans. And they're doing that. They're using the internet to stream this so more people can see it. And I feel it feels so different. Like, this has not been done wrestling before. And you can come in and knock it because it's not necessarily traditional. But the fun of wrestling is that sometimes you need to be out of the box to do things and drum up interest. And if Chikara ever does come back, and I keep using that phrase, and when they continue this campaign, it feels like it has to come back. But if Chikara ever does come back, we're going to have all of this stuff to connect the dots and fill in the storyline that keeps on giving, as I'll say. But I mean, I know I'm probably like the only person on the website who likes it. I know you and Jerome have a different opinion. I'm really curious to know what you guys think about Chikara and about other stuff going on in the world of indie wrestling. So why don't we go to that interview with yourself and Jerome talking Chikara, AIW, and a lot of other things right now.
On the line here with Jerome Cusan, senior editor of PWPonderings.com. Jerome, how are you doing, sir?
Doing pretty good, Chris. There are three big topics that I wanted to discuss. I'll leave the Ring of Honor and the PWG and the CZW. I'll let you and Des handle this, but I got three topics that I really would like to discuss on the weekly newscast. And through the magic of editing, this is all going to be one seamless show.
It really is. It's going to be amazing. Even though you and I both know the only promotion that anyone talks about is PWG, right? Right.
Definitely.
Obviously. So let's get into it. You watched AIW's recent iPay-per-view, Double Dare. How was it?
Double Dare was a very, very good show. I did not watch it live. I ordered it on SMVOD on Sunday and was watching and enjoying it on my iPad as the football games were going on. And I was very interested in the show, heard a lot of good things about the stream quality, heard a lot of good things about the matches. So I decided to catch it. I was very interested in seeing the history that was made in one of the main events. I wanted to see what Josh Alexander and Michael Elgin were able to do. And, you know, I think the tag team tournament had a lot of potential, a lot of fresh new teams, very underexposed tag team division in AIW right now. So that's why I was very interested in seeing what they had to offer.
Yeah, and we should make note, so obviously we're going to talk about the results of the event, and the Josh Alexander-Mike Elgin match was actually not on the iPay-per-view, so if you're sitting there wondering, what in the world is he talking about, that didn't happen. It did, just the cameras were off for it, or at least in terms of the live stream of it. So, Jerome, take it away. What did you?
Because Ring of Honor can tell Michael Elgin not to be on an iPay-per-view, even though they don't run iPay-per-views anymore.
Yeah, that is a lengthy discussion for another time. That's something, isn't it? So
that's for sure.
Yeah. So how was it? What were your thoughts on, I guess, the show as a whole? And what do you think of it? Is historic. There were definitely some things on here that happened, and people talking about it to this day. So what happened, Jerome, and what'd you think?
Well, Mark Summers opened the show by reading off the card, and it was a great, if AIW is going for the hipster cred, then they certainly got it, you know, this for this show by announcing each of the matches as a physical challenge, having Mark Summers do an intro for it. It was a great opportunity to see some underutilized teams, but I am very dismayed, Chris, that you do not know who Mark Summers is. How is this possible?
It's incredibly possible, because I didn't watch apparently Nickelodeon at the same time that you guys did.
I have literally never been more disappointed in you than I am right
now. I'll live down the shame in some way.
So yeah, you know, I think the first round of the tournament, you know, I think they really sort of buzzed through the first round. The one thing I have to say is I have to compliment AIW. This is a very well-paced show. And while I think some of the matches on Absolution were very, very good, but I think at times it felt a little long and it felt like some matches were in the wrong place. And I'm not sure if the show flowed as well as it could have with the different match order, but this show really felt like it built from match to match, and it sort of climaxed with the best one on the show in Michael Elgin and Josh Alexander. So I was very satisfied with the pacing and the overall show. I think there were a ton of standouts. I think the Hooligans certainly made a huge impression, you know, on the fans. And I think that's really great. I'm really hoping that we can see the Hooligans more in AIW and a lot of other places, because anytime they get two fat guys who can roll, that's a very, very good thing. They had two matches. Their second match against Nixon was definitely the more impressive of the two. I was also very impressed with the Jollyville Fuckets as well. You know, I just look at these two guys, where they started in AIW almost a year ago, and to where they are now, Nasty Russ and T-Money, they've really grown into their roles. And, you know, I absolutely agree with the decision to make them the 2013 Double Dare winners. You know, I think the AIW tag team division has been sort of a mixed bag. You know, I think there have definitely been some high points. But I think having Hope and Change as the champions for so long really stifled the division. And I think giving the belts to the Batiri and now establishing Russ and T-Money and the boys from Jollyville as the champions or the number one contenders, I think it really lights a fire in the division and really gives us something fresh, something unique, something you're only going to see in the promotion. And I think putting Nixon in the finals is sort of the big heel team for Myers and T-Money to conquer, I think that makes a ton of sense, and I think it was a really good ending for AIW to have them win this tournament. So overall, I think the tournament itself was very strong. You know, it's not Bola, But I think when you have eight teams that, you know, they're not at the level of a Young Bucks or the Briscoes or, you know, teams of that caliber, but they're very, some very underrated, underseen tag teams that got a chance to sort of have a night to themselves and to really showcase. And that's the impression that I got with Double Dare in general, is that they were showcasing some guys who, you know, otherwise wouldn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, last week or even a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to Dez about who would win this tournament. And, you know, obviously Nixon, man, that's just the ongoing storyline right now for AIW. And I was kind of afraid when I was reading the live tweets that they were going to take, I guess, the trophy, the tournament win. But, yeah, AIW, I wouldn't say they surprised me, but I think that the correct team won. So.
And I think the best part of this is we're going to get into some of the non-tournament action in a few minutes, but I just want to say, from my understanding, there are also very few problems with the stream. That ultimately may be the biggest story of the night, because it seems like every single professional wrestling company lately has been having trouble with their streaming. So this is that is probably the most important news.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely a positive. At this point, it's just noise to me, though. Talking about streaming issues, it's just, you know, it's just going to happen. And whatever. Anyway, let's move on. So there were some non-tournament results as well. Jerome, breaking... No, not breaking news. We have a new champion. Why did this happen?
I mean, you're going to have to ask... you're going to have to ask Thorne and Biggins about this one. You know, we're talking about doing a podcast with Drew about American Rana. We may want to consider the same thing here.
Well, you're here right now. So tell me what happened. It sounded like... So this was not announced as part of the card. This was not... This match wasn't going to happen. And it just happened live, which is great for everyone watching, obviously.
So this ended up being the main event of the actual iPay-per-view. And what happened was Ethan Page was coming into the show as the AIW champion. And he interrupted the president of the company, Matt Wadsworth, on commentary. And then he interrupted the ending ceremony for the Double Dare Tag Team Tournament. And Ethan Page laid down an open challenge. Ultramantis Black, who was, they said was there to do commentary, came out and accepted the open challenge. So Ultramantis Black, in a very, very rare appearance for Ultramantis Black outside of the Chikara universe. I think Kevin Ford can correct me on this, but I think this was his first non-Chikara, non-wrestling his appearance since like 2007. So this is a huge deal to just have him on a show. And also worth noting, this is the first time that Ultramantis Black had any sort of singles title match in his 11-year career. So that's a pretty significant thing. It was mentioned on commentary by Leonard F. Chikarison. And I think a lot of people, including myself, were expecting Ethan Page to retain, because that's sort of what happens when someone comes in, presumably for one night, as a challenger for the title, as sort of a special attraction. But no, they teased false finishes, a couple of them, with Ultramantis, you know, hitting the Praying Mantis bomb, but there being no referee. So I think naturally everybody assumed that Ethan Page was going to retain at that point. We had a belt shot. We had a spinning Dwayne attempt. Ultramantis hit another Praying Mantis bomb and got the three count. And I think the pop was more of surprise than anything else. And Ultramantis Black winning the AIW title was huge news on Twitter. And, you know, if you're going to try to persuade people to buy iPay-per-views again and get that live experience, then I think this is what you have to sort of do. It, you know, I think Ultramantis Black, I think seeing that title change live was going to be all the more special. You know, I think we could talk about the streaming problems that exist in independent wrestling and iPay-per-views. But, you know, if a company is going to get me to part with my money, then doing something like this, you know, is going to get my attention and is going to make me consider whether I want to seriously buy an iPay-per-view or not. So I think this was the right move at the right time. We'll have to see what happens with this angle moving forward. This isn't something that AIW can do month after month, but I think it's an interesting decision, and it's a great way to, I think, persuade people to maybe buy the next AIW pay-per-view.
Well, you've sold me. And then of course, toppled with that, it's going to be on VOD. So the quality is going to be fine. And then we get the added match of Elgin versus Alexander.
Which I've watched that, by the way. And I would like to talk about the rest of the card.
Sure, go ahead. Why don't you take it away then?
Allison Kay and Mischief. It was supposed to be Allison Kay and Saraya Knight. I'm not sure what Allison Kay and Saraya Knight would have done, but I am almost assured it would have been better than this. It felt like Allison Kay and Mischief were wrestling two different matches, but they were both in the same ring. It was a sloppy disaster. Not impressed with the effort of either one. And I think the weirdest thing is that these two have actually been in the ring together multiple times in Shine in tag matches. So it's a little bit surprising to me that these two just had zero chemistry. On the other hand, Jonathan Gresham and Johnny Gargano was very, very good. Very impressed with Gresham. You know, he has almost made me forget that he was Hirokan for a little bit. Thank God he's not him anymore. Johnny Gargano and Jonathan Gresham did a very good job. Put together a very fast-paced, energetic match that I think kept the attention of all the fans as they waited for the tournament to end. And Michael Elgin and Josh Alexander was as good as their Absolution match. It was spectacular. And, you know, you can almost feel the chest hair growing as these two men beat the hell out of each other. And alas, this also ended in a draw. So they are going to do a 2 out of 3s falls match in December, whenever AIW runs in December. So
explain the finish for us. From what I understood, it sounded kind of confusing.
So basically what happened is there was a pinfall and a submission at the same time. So it was ruled a draw because of that. So,
how does that work, Jerome? Was there a tap, submission?
Mike's shoulders were down for 3, and Josh Alexander was tapping as the referee counted to 3. So the idea is that this was a draw because there was a submission and a pinfall at the same time.
Only in wrestling. Only in professional wrestling.
I mean, I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot worse endings this year, my friend. Ring of Honor television alone.
Sure, I'm not knocking. I'm legit wondering how I'm gonna have to watch this just to see what it was a pin and what move was it? What submission hold?
It was the crossface.
Okay, I'm just gonna have to watch it because I can't picture a pin and a.
Well, Chris, you don't have any imagination because you didn't watch Nickelodeon as a child.
Exactly. That is where it all went downhill. That's all we're going to see. Anyway, so any thoughts? Obviously, it sounds like you're recommending a buy for this show.
I think this is a must-buy show. I think this was the show that AIW needed. Right place, right time. A very, very impressive effort. A big thumbs up for this. If I were to give it a grade, I would say a solid B+. I, you know, anyone who reads my DVD reviews, pwponderings.com, I grade all the shows. This is a solid B+ for me.
Well, that is impressive because I know you're a hard grader in your shoot job. So there we go. Let's see. Let's talk about something that I don't think you're going to give a B+ to, Jerome. Chikara, it did something this weekend. I don't know what to call it. It had a match. It did something. It was another rally meetup.
Chikara ran a gorilla show. Unfortunately, it wasn't a pro wrestling gorilla show. No. It was a pro wrestling gorilla show. Then I would be interested.
It did stream live, though, and apparently kind of seamlessly for the 5 people that probably watched it. Maybe?
Apparently there was a lot of wind, though.
Yes. So weird story to this. I had received this link via email, and I was told to kind of push it around, and nothing against the person who sent it to me, but since they were obviously a Chikara blogger, I didn't really pay it that much attention because I was like, okay, it's just going to be another rally. That's it.
I'm not going to lie. based on what I saw, it sounded like between the wind and everything else, it sounded like this this gorilla show and the angle that ensued blew.
Wow. Well done, Jerome. Well done.
Hey, I'm bringing the funny tonight. You know, I figure I'm blocking Dez from talking about this, so I should at least try to be funny. So
he's not even here to no-sell you. It's not even fair. It's not even fair. Anyway, so why don't we talk about this? We have
to describe what happened, because I don't have the handout in front of me or the printout of what happened. So explain this for our audience.
Okay, so as we said, we do have a description of the match that occurred. So if that's what you're interested in, go to pwponderings.com. It's one of our recent news items. You can click on any news above. But it was held on the 2nd. There was live streamed on – there's no other way to put it. It's ustream.com, and you can look it up. And as I said, you know, we provided the link in our in the description of what happened. So anyway, this was announced. There was an I Am Chikara rally. Of course, Ikaris was there. There are also other, shall we say, dignitaries of the Chikaraverse. They're also there. Bryce, LFC. I'm trying to bring it up. I don't want to get anything wrong here, because I realize this is important to quite a few people. And we got so many tweets about this. You know, it's just one of those things that it just will never die. So, I do want to give credit to Jason Nemeko of WrestleView.com. He provided us with the description of the match itself. And to Heel Housel, that is his username. Yeah, he had a report, and we have some pictures from his. So essentially what happened, it happened at the FDR Skate Park Rally. This happened at 3:45 p.m. As we said, Gavin Loudspeaker was there, and I guess he made an appearance. He might have started singing, and then his guitar broke. And they had a match. There was an actual full-length match with Ikaris, Hallowicked, and Assailant versus Kobold and Los Ice Creams. And one other noteworthy thing was a van rolled up, and men from Condor Security, they kidnapped a fan. And we have a picture of the fan, who apparently we know his name. His name was Tom. And that may or may not have been an
illusion. Not Tom Green, everybody. Tom Green is okay, from what I understand.
Well, I don't have any confirmation on that, so anyway. And it is not an allusion to, of course, Reckless Youth, who some people were saying it's him in the picture. I have many people telling me it's not him, and I agree with that. I actually looked at an image, a recent image, and I was like, no. How did he make
this? I would like to think that Tom Carter has higher standards than this.
I would like to think he probably doesn't look that young anymore either. I don't know. Maybe. Anyway.
So well, he's kind of reckless old now, I guess you could say, right?
Yeah, right. And then I guess there were stickers. This is the part that kind of confuses me. So I guess someone took the time to look at these stickers that were placed out on pillars around the skate park, and the number relation is that they revealed the date of the Shoulder of Palace, which was, of course, the date of Quackenbush's Chikara release, and is also speculated to be the same date next year for the 16-team King of Trios tournament during WrestleMania weekend. That is, of course, all speculation. So don't say we're confirming this, because we're not. But that is pretty much it. And as I said, if you want to know what happened during the match, check out our report. So, Jerome, B+? No? Thoughts? I gotta admit, I can't do this anymore. It just won't die. It's like, come on. Either tell us you're not, because I know some people are loving this. That's great. If you're into this kind of stuff, that's awesome. This is, I'll admit, it's creative. It's different style of storytelling. It's just so spaced out and so random. I just can't get into it. And I'm not going to take the time to figure out all this cryptic, esoteric stuff. I mean, I don't know, Jerome, what are your thoughts?
So I think the funniest part to me about all of this is the last Wrestling is Intense show, I believe it did 22 people paid. And this was a show that was actually promoted in the local newspaper, possibly on the radio, and was advertised as being a real show. Chikara just has a random show in a park in the cold, and they drew about 30 people. So I don't know what that says about the promoting skills of the people in charge, but it's got to say something. You know,
well, if there are 30 people paid, I mean, that may or may not be better than some promotions.
I don't think they paid. I think this was a guerrilla show. If they took money, if Shakar charged for this and 30 people paid, then Mike Quackenbush is the greatest carny of all time.
I was just commenting on the fact that it probably did better than a promotion that is on Spike TV right now. Anyway, go on.
Ouch. You know, it's such a weird thing because pro wrestling in 2013, who has the time to pay attention to all this? I sure as hell don't. You know, people have jobs, people have school, people. I think when they sit down to watch a wrestling show, I think they want to have at least some connection to the people that they're seeing on their television or their DVD player or their computer monitor or their tablet. And I just don't understand how this angle in any way makes people interested in the product. It's such a weird dynamic that Chikara has going right now. I don't even know how to explain it. It's such a weird thing.
I will say that the thing that they're kind of doing right is almost – it's similar to PWG in that the information that you're getting happens so infrequently that when you do hear it or you hear that there might be some more information, you kind of – if you're a fan of it, you run to it. You go, where can I find it? What happened? So when we posted this stuff up on our site, I mean literally droves of people came to it and were like, I didn't even know this happened. And they ate it up and they wanted to know, and then – there's a lot of comments on Reddit and on Twitter. People are like, oh, this is so awesome. But then there's that lull and no one talks about it. So
I mean, to me,
what was the goal?
It's one thing to click on a website and read an article. It's another thing to go to Ustream for free. It's one thing to go to the show. But if and when Shakar comes back, because I can only assume that it's coming back at this point based on the fact that they're running a quote-unquote guerrilla show, the wrestling is companies are starting to get killed off one at a time. I can only assume that Chikara is coming back. But what kind of a Chikara is going to come back? Are we going to get the Chikara of the second half of 2011 or 2012 and the first half of 2013? Because to be very honest with you, that wasn't Chikara at its best. That wasn't even a Chikara at 75%. You know, I think that the Chikara that we saw in the last year was nowhere near as good as the one it was in the first, you know, 10 years of its existence. And I think there were a lot of problems that were going on. And are those problems all of a sudden going to be resolved? And how does this angle get resolved in a logical manner that can actually pay this storyline off? And is there a way to do it? Is there a logical way to do it? There's obviously only one person who can answer that question, but as a pro wrestling fan, when I sit down to watch a DVD, I want to watch wrestling, I want to watch interesting angles, but I also don't want to have to sit at my computer on a random Saturday afternoon where a Chikara show is maybe going to take place, or I'm going to, you know, and this is the other thing that really bothers me. I don't know if for wrestling fans who don't know what it's like to put up a wrestling ring, it sucks and it's a pain in the ass. For them to set up a wrestling ring for not even one match in the middle of Philadelphia where it was likely very cold and very windy, that is a level of obsession that can only be described as pure insanity. I mean, if you just think about this from a logical standpoint, forget the storyline, forget everything else. That, to me, just speaks to the oddness and the obsession with this angle. I mean, Chikara, they have 25,000 followers, roughly speaking. Chris, if you go check on that and see
how long. No, it's about right. I'm not going to say how legitimate that is, but they do have that.
So they have 25,000 followers. They have not tweeted anything since, I believe, June the 2nd. I mean, you have 25,000 followers, and just to sell a storyline, you are not tweeting anything from that account. That is amazingly short-sighted. And I can only imagine what would have happened. Maybe the wrestling is would not have bombed so badly if Chikara had established more ties with them. And, you know, maybe these wrestling is companies would not be the monumental failures that they have turned out to be. And the other thing that I think is very amusing is that Wrestling Is Fun ran a show on Sunday. There was nothing Chikara related at the show that people were paying to see and that they knew was coming, but they run an angle at a quote unquote gorilla show that nobody knew about. That the height of absurdity is the best way to describe this angle.
Not that I'm looking for more vitriol out of you, Jerome, but I have a question for you. What is your thoughts on the fact that they have essentially retconned the Ashes, you know, the Ashes series of videos, and of course some of the storylines that they had in place, you know, like Wing Vavasor and Condor Security, into this? Because I will say that part is genius, because there are fans out there, and I've talked with them, so call me crazy, but these people legitimately believe that the story of Chikara closing down was actually written over a year ago. And I'm one of those people, you know, I just read what's out there, and maybe I'm the fool. I trust the trusted insider sites, such as The Observer and PW Insider and ProWrestlingTorchin.net. And with the information that's out there, how can these people actually justify their thought that, oh no, this was all planned way ahead of time, and this blackout was gonna happen?
To me, it's irrelevant when it was planned. The question that you have to ask yourself is, what is the payoff to this angle, and how many people are going to care about Chikara when it comes back?
The first Chikara show back, if it's on iPay-per-view, I do think a lot of people will buy it. And by a lot, you know, we're looking at a sliding scale, so like maybe 2,000 people.
You know, I think there's a very dedicated fan base that is going to love Chikara until it actually dies. But for me, I question the casual Chikara fan, whether they have either found something else, whether they have stopped following. But, you know, I don't know how, even if Chikara does come back, and I can only assume that it is, I honestly don't know how long it can survive in its current form, because for me, I think a lot of trust has been lost between myself and this company, because I'm not expecting to be told what happened and exactly what happened, but the thing that has bothered me for the last 4 months is the pretension that Chikara in some way is trying to manufacture this idea that they have been canceled or that they were killed by a corporation. But in reality, it's just a storyline, and they're sort of perpetuating. I mean, I think I've used the example of Arrested Development or Futurama. They're trying to perpetuate that as a wrestling angle. And I think that's complete BS. I think you're just treating your fans like idiots.
I think there is also, though, a fine line between the entertainment aspect of it also, right? Because this is pro wrestling, and if we're just the quote-unquote wrestling fan, for them to acknowledge that we know some of the backstage stuff, I can't say that they should always acknowledge it 100% of the time. This is one of those circumstances, I agree with you, where they should. But you know, at the same time, I can understand the thought process of, well, you know what? We know that we have smart fans, but we don't necessarily have to say anything. So I don't know. I guess it depends on where someone draws the line, right?
And I mean, as has been stated before, a lot of the wrestlers didn't know that Chikara was being shut down.
Yeah, that part actually angers
me more than the fans. Because if you're going to lie to the fans, fine, whatever. But when you're lying to the wrestlers, and if the wrestlers think that they're going to have bookings for the second half of 2013, and then all of a sudden they disappear, you know, I think that's completely uncalled for, ridiculous, and, you know, I think that's just bad. That is bad business and bad business practices.
Sure, it reminds me a lot of the story that Rhino thought that ECW was going to continue, and he was going to the website to see what the next dates were, and he was what, the last ECW champion, the last TV champion, and no one had clued him in, and that's not his fault. That's on the people that run it.
I mean, so. It's the person who's in charge of Chikara. It is his responsibility as an employer and as someone who runs a company that has been in existence for 11 years to be a responsible adult. And based on this person's behavior, he is not acting like a responsible adult. And, you know, I know that for me, I'm going to have a very hard time supporting Chikara when they come back, because I do have a lot of respect for a lot of the people involved, from Leonard F. Chikara and Bryce Remsburg and to so many of the wrestlers. But, you know, I have a hard time supporting a group that doesn't seem to respect its fans.
Well, talking about groups and promotions that don't respect its fans and may have some ownership changes, let's transition over to the third topic you want to talk about. Billy Corgan reportedly had interest in buying TNA. A representative of his has gone out and said that they're not going to speak on these rumors, that there's no point, that he's focused on, of course, he is openly part owner of Resistance Pro that runs out of your area, Jerome. And, yeah, I believe the Carters, Janice Carter, one of her representatives, or herself, she put out there that there's no truth to any of these rumors. As I said, I'm one of those people that read, you know, the quote-unquote dirt sheets, and if you want to believe what they're reporting, that's obviously not true, and hey, this is just how you run a business. You're not going to acknowledge rumors and sales possibilities, stuff like that. But, Jerome, your thoughts on this. Billy Corgan, TNA owner. I don't know whether that's better or worse than Mark Cuban, to be honest.
What'd you say?
I said, I don't know if that's better or worse than Mark Cuban, because Mark Cuban would just take TNA to Access TV if he still owns it.
Mark Cuban's at least a billionaire, though. Mark Cuban is realistically the only one that can compete with Vince McMahon, who's actually a wrestling fan. I think that to me is the bottom line. He's the only one that has the money and the resources and the capability to do it. And he seems like a very sharp and intelligent individual. I can never see him getting involved in wrestling because it's too high risk of a venture. So, and I don't blame him. I think he's perfectly content running the Dallas Mavericks, and he's got his Shark Tank show. So that's fine with me. But let's dispel the myths that Billy Corgan in any way except pumping money into TNA is a good thing. You know, I've had the chance to watch quite a few Resistance Pro shows. I know people who've worked for the company. I know people who still go to shows. The bottom line with Resistance Pro is that it is not a good wrestling company. The angles are out of 1998 ECW. 1998 ECW was not that good. The other problem is that 1998 ECW at least had the benefit of a Paul Heyman or some of the incredibly talented workers of ECW to get this stuff across. Paul Heyman is not involved with Resistance Pro. I have a great deal of respect for some of the talent who works there. Guys like Robert Anthony, Sugar Dunkerton, Aaron Epic. I like those guys a lot. And there are other guys who I'm sure that I would enjoy watching their work, but not in Resistance Pro. The whole is not greater than the sum of its parts. You know, I don't think that Billy Corgan would help TNA in any way. And I think the people that are talking about Resistance Pro as if it is some sort of success story, or they're talking about the potential of Billy Corgan booking, they're just kidding themselves, because...
Well, it is on TV, right? Is it still on TV in your area?
No, it's
oh, okay. Never mind then. I didn't know that.
But, the thing about it is that Billy Corgan is a wrestling fan, and that's not to say that wrestling fans can't be bookers, because ultimately we're all wrestling fans, but Billy Corgan has the mentality that it is still the late 1990s, and maybe if you listen to his music, that also reflects that. You know, I know that there are a lot of people who were Smashing Pumpkins fans in the 90s and who love Billy Corgan, and that's all well and good, but that doesn't mean that Billy Corgan can run a wrestling company. And, you know, I think TNA has made consistently bad decisions for 11 years. And if they let Billy Corgan book this company, that will just be one more bad decision that they've made.
If he comes in, though, as just an investor, not necessarily on the booking end, would that be beneficial in your eyes?
When you put it that way, it almost has to be, right? Because TNA, they're bleeding money.
Yeah.
Like Corgan investing in the company has to be considered a good thing. Okay. But I don't see what his I don't think he adds much value to it.
Right, in terms of the content, but in terms of monetarily, they need all the help they can get.
I mean, I think the thing for me is that I think there are just as many people who dislike Billy Corgan because of what happened with Smashing Pumpkins. People who know music far better than I can probably speak to this, but
yeah, Zwan happened. Zwan was
Zwan sucked. That's all.
I try to erase that from my memory.
Yeah, but, you know, Billy Corgan. You know, I'm glad that he's a wrestling fan. If he financially supports TNA, fine. But I really wanted to discuss this topic because I think it's important to state that Billy Corgan is not, nor has he ever been, a good wrestling booker, based on what I have seen in Resistance Pro. And I heard some rejected ideas for some of the other things, the other projects that he may or may not have been involved in, and they were worse. Just remember, guys, Jesus Christ, or somebody dressed as Jesus Christ, appeared on a Resistance show that Dr. Keith was at. Dr. Keith was in AAW by March. So just think about that. Let that permeate in your minds for a few minutes.
Well, God was in WWE. I mean, anyway.
And the devil was in Ring of Honor, so it all works.
Exactly. So, Jerome, well, I want to, unless there's any other thing you want to discuss, I mean, because I pretty much would be regurgitating your thoughts on that. Because it's just, as I said, I think on the back end, if he was to monetarily support them, great. But in terms of what TNA really needs, he wouldn't add to that. So anyway, Jerome, thank you for joining us here on the newscast. Why don't we get some of your plugs out of the way?
Twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor is the place to find me. You can find all of my DVD reviews, including the Battle of Los Angeles Nights 1 and 2. Those reviews should be up by the time you listen to this at PWPonderings.com. Thanks.
All right. I want to thank Jerome for joining us on the newscast. And of course, I kind of wish he had a chance to be on the show with you just to kind of, you know, build off what he said. You know, he doesn't have the greatest thoughts on this, you know, because in his eyes, I agree. It doesn't, if Chikara is supposed to continue to exist, the bottom line is they have to do something that really not just builds interest, but equates to the fan saying, you know what, I'm going to pay for this. And as of right now, that just hasn't happened. Of course, you know, I did make the point in our discussion that I'm willing to bet their first event back, if it's an iPay-per-view.
Oh, it's going to be huge.
They will get at least 2,000 buys. And I mentioned that with Jerome. So in that aspect, I could agree that it is building that interest. But I also, I kind of agree with Jerome as in, what's the end game here? And I guess, for your point, Des, the end game is just Chikara returning.
We don't know the end game, and I think that's the most interesting part, is what are they building to? I think, you know, we have grown up as fans of wrestling in a time where we've seen so much of it, and we learn so much about it from the inside scene that we're not used to being in a position where we don't know what's going to happen. So I think in this case, we're watching things in Chikara, and granted, maybe even they don't know what's going to happen. But I think that's what makes it fun for everybody. And that's what ultimately makes wrestling fun. So I think we feel a little vulnerable that we actually don't know what's happening in wrestling for once. And I for one, think it's a good thing.
I'm just kind of hoping they never reveal the fact that Kevin Ford is actually Dr. Cube.
Well, I mean,
never mind.
That's a different universe. And that's a conversation that we have to have off the air, Chris.
Yes. We'll talk about that later on. Yeah. All right, let's just move on to Ring of Honor, Des. They announced two matches for the final battle event, which, of course, I would say would be their largest iPay-per-view of the year, but it's not.
It's the WrestleMania of Ring of Honor house shows, basically, that will somehow end up on the internet later. So, yeah, we got two big matches. Actually, one that was added to and one that was just announced. So we've got Matt Taven defending the television championship against Tommaso Ciampa at Final Battle. That's of course on December 14th in New York at the Hammerstein Ballroom. So Ciampa earned the shot at the Cincinnati show, which I believe was this past weekend. Yeah, November 1st, when he beat Mark Briscoe and Jay Lethal in a three-way to win the number one contendership for that title. We also have a new main event for the final battle show. I think just last week they had announced it was going to be Michael Elgin challenging Adam Cole. They have since amended that. It will now be Adam Cole defending the Ring of Honor world title against both Michael Elgin and Jay Briscoe in a three-way after Jay Briscoe actually beat Kevin Steen this past weekend to earn his shot. He's walking around right now. He's calling himself the real Ring of Honor champion or something silly like that. So I always felt that it was a given that he was going to get into the final battle main event. And here he is, along with Michael Elgin.
Yeah, I gotta admit, I'm kind of looking forward to that three-way a little bit more than I was just Cole and Elgin. If only for the added aspect of Briscoe kind of is a different dimension when he's involved. So, but we'll see. And it's New York. It's New York. I mean, come on. It's going to be a good show.
I really wanted to see. This is me being picky because I know this match is still going to be awesome and it's going to have a good story to it. But I just wanted to see Jay versus Elgin and then Jay versus Cole. But, you know, this is still going to be really good. And for once, you know, usually when you have a three-way main event for a big show, it's almost like it's watered down. Like, that's always my criticism when a wrestling show books a three-way main event. And in this case, it doesn't feel watered down at all because everybody has a logical reason to be in this match. And you know it's going to be good. So I'm actually very much looking forward to that main event.
Or I kind of feel like you're saying you're not looking forward to the eventual Randy Orton versus Big Show versus Daniel Bryan. Is that not your thing?
Well, Daniel Bryan's stuck with the Wyatt family right now, so I don't need to see that.
That is true. Anyway, moving on. Not necessarily Ring of Honor news related, but it is at the same time. Free agent Davey Richards, he had some comments this past week from a PCW show held in the United Kingdom. We have a video of that on our website, and of course the information and all the topics that we talk about in the newscast will be provided for in the information for this podcast. And he basically said that him and Edwards, they may be headed somewhere. He said he couldn't talk because of legal reasons, but he said that it would cause fireworks. I know there were some interpretations out there that said that where they were going was going to have fireworks, and that was just not correct. I don't know how people got that description. So through the video, he actually just said that it would cause fireworks, meaning it's going to be controversial. There was an update from the PW Insider saying that they haven't actually been offered anything, but that they're still on the radar, but that his comments probably a little bit more just to build, you know, a little bit more interest, be a little controversial. But Dez, you know, of course, it got the internet talking. What if Richards and Edwards go to the WWE? What would the American Wolves be there? Kind of an interesting. Do you have any thoughts on how the WWE would use them? I mean, obviously, we've seen how they're using indie talent in the very recent past. So I think this could, if they do go, and we're not saying they are, but if they did, I think it'd be kind of a cool, kind of cool for them.
It'd be cool after their initial 2 years when they're criticized for not knowing how to work and then they finally get a chance. So we'll probably, like, if they get signed this year, it'll be like 2015 before we actually start to see them do important things. So I don't know.
I just hope Richards is allowed to do his post-match promos.
Oh my God. That'd be the best gimmick ever. He's just like, he works the opening match, but then he does a post-match promo.
And then Triple H comes out and is like, dude, come on, just go.
Triple H yells at Davey Richards for doing long, unbearable promos.
That would be the best.
I would sign them.
There you go. So AIW, they announced actually just tonight, you can almost call it breaking news, for Hell on Earth 9, Lewis Linden defends the Intense title versus Marion Fontaine.
Yeah.
We did listen to Jerome talk about his review of AIW's Double Dare. And Dez, I'm assuming you're just as disappointed. I guess I don't know who this Mark Summers guy is. So, whatever. Moving
on. Mark
Summers,
he's British. He you have to know who Mark Summers is. He's part of that team with that other guy, Pete Dunne. He's a man.
Wow. There you go. But Dez, I am looking forward to when you finally get a chance to check out Double Dare and your thoughts on it when that happens.
Yes, I never watched Nickelodeon as a child. I had a bad childhood. So shout out to Mark Summers, but I don't know. I didn't know who you were until like Friday, a half hour after your segment, homie.
That's awesome. See, you and I, we're not alone. There we go.
I had a
West Coast representing.
I had a sad childhood.
I had sports, so call it what you will.
Whatever.
Exactly. Something, though, let's get into this, though. TNA, they've got this interesting storyline, Dez, where AJ Styles, he's the TNA champion. He just retained his title against Judas Macias in Mexico. He's going over to Japan for W1, and he's going to face Seiya Sonata. But Dez, he's not really the TNA champion. What is this? What's going on?
Yes, he is.
I feel like
is.
We've done this before. We've seen yeah. it somewhere.
Somewhere, but I just can't put my finger on it. But yeah, it does feel like deja vu, doesn't it? Yeah, I don't know, man. He has a title, and he's calling himself the champion. So maybe he's going to hang out with Jay Briscoe, and they'll do redneck stuff together.
Well, he is from Georgia, correct? Yeah?
Yeah.
There we go.
Maybe he'll invite him over to his trailer park, and the kids can play together, and we'll have a new relationship. Jay Briscoe could fill the void that Christopher Daniels left in AJ Styles' life.
There you go. That's kind of weird.
They're the two best friends that anyone could have.
Wow. Anyway, so AAW, they've signed a match for November 30th. Berwyn, Illinois, Shane Hollister defending the AAW title against Kevin Steen. I believe this is Kevin Steen's debut for AAW, so I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. So you guys should go check that out on the 30th of November.
Go. Harass Jerome.
Exactly. Go harass Jerome. But Dez, in December, we've got some big news. PWG throwing once again a weekend of fun. Tell us all about it.
A weekend of All-Stars. It's All-Star Weekend. And it's going through the... It's All-Star Weekend 10 going through December 20th and 21st. Announced so far, the December 20th main event is the Young Bucks and Kevin Steen teaming up to take on Ricochet, Rich Swann, and AR Fox. Plus, get this, guys, in a non-title match, PWG champion Adam Cole versus Candice LeRae. Adam Cole, she's got your number. And then we've got the December 21st show. We've got Adam Cole defending the PWG title against Johnny Gargano. And of course, this is a meeting of champions. Johnny Gargano is the DG USA Open, the Freedom Gate champion. I totally forgot about that. That's cool. We also got Ricochet versus Davey Richards. So, yeah.
Yeah, they've actually added some matches to that as well. We're going to see on night one, Davey Richards versus Johnny Gargano, a rematch from a match they did in Beyond Wrestling, which I encourage everyone to go on YouTube. You can check that out for free. I mean, Richards versus Gargano, why wouldn't you be watching it? And then the Dojo Bros versus the Best Friends, the Rockness Monsters versus PP Prey.
Yeah!
Tommaso Ciampa versus Drake Younger, Joey Ryan versus Brian Cage, and ACH versus Michael Elgin. Because we've never seen that.
Because he's going to die. Michael Elgin's going to kill him.
That's what I'm assuming. But he's so flexible, Des. He might survive. You know what I mean? Maybe.
Michael Elgin will not let him survive.
No.
Sorry, ACH.
And then December 21st, the Dojo Bros take on AR Fox and Rich Swann. The Young Bucks and Kevin Steen versus Candice LeRae, Joey Ryan, and Drake Younger. ACH versus Tommaso Ciampa. So if he doesn't die in night one, he's probably dying in night two.
He's going to find two very different ways to die, I think.
That's he's going to be in a lot of pain.
This is going to be the ACH Dies weekend.
They should... Oh, they've already named it. Damn. Oh. And Michael Elgin versus Trent, the Rockness Monsters versus B-Boy and Willie Mack, and Brian Cage versus Chuck Taylor. Dez, I'm also going to throw out that this past weekend, we've got to see kind of a rare thing. Samoa Joe versus Willie Mack at a championship wrestling from Hollywood TV taping.
Yeah.
Of course, because of certain ramifications of contracts, you're not going to see this on DVD or TV. But you have a chance to see it on YouTube from our friends at The Ring Crew. So check that out. We'll provide the information for that also in the information. It's an okay match. It's pretty good. And Samoa Joe gave a pretty heartfelt promo after. And, you know, it's just one of those things, as we don't get to see TNA, you know, talent on the indie scene very often. And then even if you do, you're really only seeing them live. So really, I got to say, that should encourage some people to really go out of their way to go to these events.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And then, of course, Dragon Gate USA. We have some updates for the November 16th and 17th. Of course, this is Dragon Gate. I believe it is Fearless. And I believe Fearless is the 16th. Let me double check on that, because they did just release the posters. Of course, I'm assuming these are going to be on iPay-per-view, and if I'm incorrect, I'm sorry. But it is a Dragon Gate show. I just assume it's going to be. Let me look that up real quick. I want to say that I'm right, though, that Fearless
November is... 16th from Queens, New York.
Yes, it is. It's either Fearless... And then the other one is double checking here. And of course, the images don't load. Okay, so Fearless, GGUSA Fearless 2013 is the November 16th show. And then GGUSA Freedom Fight 2013 is the November 17th show. So once again, Dez, Fearless, and Freedom Fight, because they've never used those titles before.
I'm totally not going to mix those up when I recap them.
Nope. So on November 16th, open the Freedom Gate title match is Johnny Gargano against Jimmy Susumu. I think a lot of people are excited for that. The open the United Gate title match is between the Young Bucks and the Bravado Brothers. Masaki Mochizuki is taking on Anthony Nice, which I'm sure... Actually, I'm going to say a lot of people are probably excited for that. Mochizuki versus Nice, but I think that's fun. And then they recently announced Genki Horiguchi will defend the open the Brave Gate title against Rich Swann. So look forward to that. And November 17th, the main event, of course, be determined by the result of November 16th. If Gargano retains, he'll be facing Mochizuki, and it'll be for the title. And then we're going to get Ricochet versus Anthony Nice. And, of course, you can check out WNLive.com for more information, or just follow Book It Gabe on Twitter. Dez, I'm going to just put this out there. Even with the talent flying over from Japan, it does make it feel a little bit more Dragon Gate centric, so that's a plus. I do think this will probably get people's interest a little bit more than if the guys weren't coming over, you know.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think this is definitely getting more people's interest. I think we've criticized Dragon Gate USA before for being like just another indie with just happens to bring in one or two Japanese guys. So at least this time you're bringing in some different guys from the past.
Right. It's not Evolve than with Shima.
Yeah, exactly. It's at least a little bit different, and at least you've got the Brave Gate in there. And I know like our Dragon Gate correspondent Lee Hellion is really into the idea of doing a Mochizuki and Gargano. So I mean, and he's like the biggest Dragon Gate fan I know. So maybe you can get a couple more eyes on the show that way. I'm doing kind of like dream match E type things. So I don't know. We'll see how this show does. It'll either be live pay-per-view or it'll be on soon after on video on demand. I can't imagine it not being available. So,
but he doesn't like the Young Bucks, Dez. I don't know.
Nobody likes the Young Bucks.
You're fired.
Well, I'm just saying they're very. I love the Young Bucks, but they're in the Bullet Club now.
Yeah, you're still fired. So, CWF Mid-Atlantic Ultimate Survivor 2013 takes place. CWF247.com for all the information there. It's one of their bigger events of the year. You should check it out. They have announced a triathlon Survivor match, best 2 out of 3 falls. Trevor Lee's team will face off against Lance Lude's team. They have recently put on the match between Trevor Lee and Lance Lude on YouTube. You should check that out. It's a pretty good match, and I encourage all of you. You know, CWF Mid-Atlantic really hitting some big strides, some good wrestling going on there. Check them out. They also have a Torneo Cybernetico, which I will admit just doesn't seem right to say in a not.
I was about to say, CWF Mid-Atlantic is doing this? That jumped out at me.
Doing a lucha? I mean, it is an 8-versus-8 elimination match, so it is technically a Cybernetico, so I'll go with it. I know it seems kind of weird, but I'll go with it. Who am I to say what they can and can't do?
Yeah, I've seen weirder.
Yeah, because you're a Doctor Who fan. What? Anyway, there's a 4-corner survival match. Television champion Chase Dakota. He will pick 3 challengers at random from his box, and they get to challenge him. So his championship will be on the line. Just imagine that, not even being able to, I guess, control who your challengers are going to be. That's kind of bold. I don't know if I'd do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Yep. And then in the main event, Donnie Dollars, Mark James, Marty De Niro, and the Mid-Atlantic champion, Eric Royal, they have been challenged by Nick Richards to form a four-man team and face them in a steel cage warfare match. Of course, other matches are still going to be announced. As I said, CWF247.com for all the information there. Dez, that's it for this week.
Yeah, we get to go home.
You are home. We talked about this off the air, Dez.
No, we're in the PWP studio right now, Chris. You have to keep up kayfabe.
This is a horrible studio.
Chris killed kayfabe. Yeah, the studio is your living room.
Yeah, that's... Oh, well. At least that's a good couch. That's all that matters. So, Dez, what do you have going on the interwebs?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Dez Delgadillo and read my website, thingsdezsays.net. But I haven't updated that thing in like 2 weeks, so I'll do something.
Really are becoming the Todd Martin of this podcast.
I am. I used to have so many plugs, and now I'm lucky to have one.
Well, I have plugs.
Okay.
check out our friends at Total Wrestling Magazine. It's an e-magazine based out of the UK. This month, they have just released Edition 2 as of this recording. So go check it out. You can see the banner right below the information for this podcast. They have Roman Reigns and Davey Richards in exclusive interviews. And then we have columns written by Sharkboy, the Blossom Twins, and Matt Stryker. If that doesn't get you to read it, I mean, Dez, the Blossom.
Does Shark Boy write it as Shark Boy Steve Austin or as like Shark Boy?
I would assume Shark Boy / Steve Austin. So every once in a while you got a shell yeah in there.
Shell yeah. And that's the fishing line. I missed that gimmick.
It's still around, Dez, if you look for it on YouTube, maybe.
Too far.
Yeah, I have a couple articles in there, do some Ring of Honor reviews, and of course, I talk about the iPay-per-view situation with Ring of Honor and their recent debacle. So check that out, twmag.co.uk, and you can just look up Total Wrestling Magazine on Facebook and on Twitter. So of course, thank you for listening. If you are checking us out on iTunes or Stitcher, give us a 4 or 5-star review. Get that algorithm going. Let your friends know about us. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/pwponderings. Facebook.com/ProWrestlingPonderings, and of course the main website, PWPonderings.com. If you want to contact me, it is CGSTong on Twitter, CGSTONG, and the same thing at PWPonderings.com is my email address. For Dez Delgadillo and Jerome Tucson, thanks for listening. Have a good
I love the Young Bucks.